Welcome to the Ramble Podcast, hosted by Dave DeBa and presented by Rippin.com. As always, the Ramble Podcast is coming to you live from the Super Plus Rippin.com broadcast studios in the heart of Silicon Valley. Now, to the host that can't stop rambling, Dave DeBa.
Coming up on the Ramble today, we go deep inside your National Football League as the Pro Football Hall of Fame has made its big announcements. The last five players from the modern era that are going to be enshrined in the National Football League. We'll cover who they are and whether or not they deserve to be there. Plus, the National Football League has done it. They're giving out their awards. As we speak, we'll cover some of those awards. And I did want to point this out just really quickly to you. They actually have an Assistant Coach of the Year award in the National Football League. I've been following the NFL forever. I have no idea that they actually had an Assistant Coach of the Year. Plus, we'll do just sort of a brief reflection on Kobe Bryant, give a brief tribute to Kobe, as it has been a very tumultuous 6 days since the unexpected passing of Kobe Bryant. And finally, I'll give you my big, and I do mean big, highly anticipated Super Bowl predictions. All of that and a whole lot more coming up on the Ramble today. All right, North America. So we're going to kick off with the announcements that just sort of came down the pike from your National Football League and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's all over. I mean, this has been wacky. There are a total of 20 people going into the hall this year. They were doing something sort of wacky where they were going to allow 15 players in because it's the 100-year anniversary of football in the National Football League. And so they decided to do something a little bit special this year. So there's an additional 15 players and people who have been involved in the National Football League that will be inducted and enshrined into the Hall of Fame later this year. Today, a little earlier today, though, the announcement of the five modern-day players that are getting into the Hall was made. And it's Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchinson, Edgar and James, and Troy Polamalu are all going to be enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I wanted to start with Steve Atwater, who I think has been like out of the league forever and finally got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I don't know if any of you out there remember Steve Atwater, but he was a lot like a Ronnie Lott. He was a bad man in that defensive secondary for Denver for all of those years. And I remember watching him play and thinking that has to be one of the hardest hitters to ever play in the National Football League. So well-deserved for Steve Atwater. Isaac Bruce, who had all of the statistics and should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago, finally made it into the Hall of Fame this year. Steve Hutchinson certainly deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, a fantastic, absolutely fantastic offensive lineman, maybe one of the best offensive linemen of his era. And of course, spent the majority of his career with the Seattle Seahawks, and then spent the second part of his career with my Minnesota Vikings, and a fantastic guy. So it's good to see Hutch make it into the Hall of Fame. Edgar and James was, you know, one of the best running backs of his era. Running backs are sort of hard to put into the Hall just because there's the statistical piece of it. And then there's the punishment of what running backs actually go through. I mean, just think about Delvin Cook. Now, is Delvin Cook a better running back than Edgar and James? Probably. But will Delvin Cook actually have a Hall of Fame career? And based on the injuries and based on how he looked in that San Francisco 49er playoff game where he got completely shut down, I don't know that Delvin Cook has enough, or his body, I should say, is going to be able to withstand what the National Football League pushes out to running back. So congrats to Edgar and James. Fantastic career. Really one of the best running backs of his era. And of course, Troy Polamalu, you know, no complaints here. Swiss Army knife. I was a little surprised he retired when he did retire. I thought he had a couple more years left in the tank. But I think safety issues and health issues and things like that finally got to Troy. And he made the decision to leave the National Football League, which I consider to be just a little bit early, but a fantastic career nonetheless. So those are your five players going into the hall. Anyways, I can't wait to get into my Super Bowl predictions, which we'll do for you in a little bit. But before we do that, I thought it was important to sort of run down the list of National Football League awards that have been doled out in the last 20 minutes or so. The first one going to the Coach of the Year, which is going to be John Harbaugh, who did an absolutely fantastic job with Lamar Jackson. And when you consider what makes the Coach of the Year the Coach of the Year, especially for a guy that's already won a Super Bowl, and why wasn't like Kyle Shanahan the Coach of the Year? If you look at what he did with the turnaround and the San Francisco 49ers this year, which is just flat out short of amazing. And how I think about this is Gary Woodland from golf. So just think about Gary Woodland and the U.S. Open last year, because I've watched Gary Woodland play golf since then, and I've watched Gary Woodland play golf before then. And sure, Gary Woodland's won a handful of tournaments throughout his career. But the one thing about Gary Woodland is when he has won tournaments like the U.S. Open, he got on fire and he suddenly put together a string of several good days and then built some confidence during the tournament. Now, if you watch Gary Woodland in a tournament that he's not really in, in other words, he doesn't have a chance of winning that tournament, he sort of plays mediocre, which is really how I think about the San Francisco 49ers last year. Like, the team just didn't get on a roll, and so since it never got on a roll, it never really did anything. And of course, there was the lack of Jimmy G being there and a bunch of other things that went into why the 49ers weren't the same team that they were this year. But one thing happened where they got on a roll. Kyle Shanahan was asked earlier in the week during the thousands of interviews, and I do mean thousands of interviews that were conducted in Miami. He was asked, you know, when did he basically know that he had something special? And it did. It took him until they were 8-0 before Kyle Shanahan really started to believe. And so I think there's something to be said. There's a real strong argument to be made here that Kyle Shanahan could have easily been the Coach of the Year and not John Harbaugh. Moving on to John Harbaugh winning the award this year, for a coach to make such a dramatic change at offense and to embrace the style of offense that Lamar Jackson it needs to be able to play to be successful in the National Football League is exactly why John Harbaugh won this award. It's as simple as that. Look, I'm not saying he's not a great coach. I just think this year's head coach of the year was clearly Kyle Shanahan, and I can't believe I'm sitting here fighting for a 49er to win an award, but here I am. Okay, so moving on, Kyler Murray named Offensive Rookie of the Year. Nick Bosa named Defensive Rookie of the Year. The Comeback Player of the Year award goes to Ryan Tannehill. And I love Comeback Player of the Year awards, especially to a player that let's face it, was looking at having to go sell insurance for a career. I'm just saying, like, Ryan Tannehill was not looking like he was going to have a second swan song in his National Football League career after what went down in Miami. But when he took over the reins in Tennessee this year, he did everything right. He sort of stole something out of Jimmy G's playbook. And what he basically stole was the quarterback is not to get in the way of the running game. Look, I think this award is as much about the strength of that offensive line, the running game behind King Henry, which seemed a little premature to be calling him King Henry, by the way. But I'm just saying, like, there were a lot of other things that made Ryan Tannehill look good this year, but still, he didn't make the mistakes. I watched him play a lot. I thought he looked sharp. So congrats to him for that award. And then finally, the Defensive Player of the Year award went to Stephon Gilmore. Of course, totally deserved that award. Last thing I want to say about these awards is that there is a Offensive Assistant of the Year, top assistant in the National Football League. I mean, it seems absolutely ridiculous to me that there's something called the Offensive Assistant Top National Coach of the Year Award, which went to Greg Roman of the Ravens. Congrats to Greg Roman on that award. I mean, like, what does he do with that? Is there an actual trophy for that? Is this part of the National Football League's new leaf where they are suddenly just handing out participation awards like everybody else does in sports? This is ridiculous. Look, I'm not saying he didn't do a great job this year as an assistant coach, but give me a break. I mean, what's next? The offensive line top assistant coach of the year? Best intern? Best gopher? I'm just saying, it just seems absolutely ridiculous. All right, so we're going to get into my highly coveted Super Bowl picks. We're going to do that for you here in just a minute. But I thought it was important, at least to mention what happened six and a half days ago with the Kobe Bryant passing of him and his daughter and the grand total of 9 people on that helicopter. Obviously, one of the saddest days that I can remember. Just on a personal note, being a huge, you know, Los Angeles Laker fan, and truly understanding that the impact that Kobe Bryant had on the National Basketball Association, on the city of Los Angeles, not just the city of Los Angeles, but the entire Southern California area. Kobe certainly left a lasting impact. On a personal note, Kobe was a bit of an enigma at times throughout his career. I did have the chance to watch Kobe play his first home National Basketball Association game, and certainly saw him play a lot prior to moving up to the Bay Area back in 2000. So I understand. I mean, there were a wide variety of great memories that Kobe Bryant brought to me personally, both on and off the court. Though I never had the chance to actually sit down with Kobe and talk to him. I will say that I thought the way Kobe handled, especially the Black Mamba portion of his career, was absolutely fantastic. The way he went about continuing to try to be great was what made everything really work out for all of us when we watched Kobe, you know, really towards the actual end of his career. You know, Kobe said, you know, some great things throughout his career. And there was one statement that he made that I'll share with you, which I think basically sort of sums up the Black Mamba portion of Kobe's career. And he said, you have to dance beautifully in the box you feel comfortable in. And the statement there is really, really about, and I've got this book that I was in recently and got a quote in called Ditch the Act, which basically, you know, is, the book itself basically summarizes a lot of what Kobe says in that specific statement. The book's not about Kobe Bryant or the Black Mamba at all in any way, but it just basically says you just need to be comfortable with who you are and do it at a high level once you are comfortable with who you are. And I think that's what we saw from Kobe towards the backside of his career. I think that's also why Kobe was so successful sort of off the court once he moved into retirement. The family part of it is fantastic, and how he was able to spend all this extra time with his kids and really connect with his kids in a fantastic way. But all the other ventures, all the other, the Academy Award that he won for the Diary of Basketball, all the other things that he was doing were fantastic. And that's because this was somebody that was just comfortable with who he was. He was comfortable. And when you're comfortable with who you are, you're able to go out and help other people, which is, I think, why Kobe, this loss has hit everybody so hard. So if you think about the era I grew up in, you know, Michael Jordan was the guy we all looked up to. But Kobe Bryant in the era that, you know, everybody else has grown up in since then was the Michael Jordan of the era. And I think the big difference is that Kobe, in the backside of his career, and it's important that we note that because he was an absolute killer on the court. Absolute killer on the court was Kobe Bryant. But in the backside of his career, he befriended a lot of players in the National Basketball Association. He did a lot of things with women's basketball. He did a lot of things to support the young players of today. And he opened his door to a lot of the young budding superstars in the National Basketball Association in a way that I don't think Michael Jordan ever really did. And that's not to knock Michael Jordan, but that's just simply to say that, you know, once Kobe felt comfortable with who he was absolutely able to dance beautifully inside the box that he was in. Okay, North America, like I have, like, don't even know what else to say. I mean, still absolutely, you know, torn up about what happened to Kobe, his daughter, and the seven other people on that helicopter. All right, shifting gears, which has been a very, this has been like the most somber week leading up to a Super Bowl that I can remember. I think even more somber than the fourth time the Buffalo Bills went to the Super Bowl in a row. I'm just saying, because you all knew the Buffalo Bills were going to lose again, didn't you? Anyways, so shifting to this year's Super Bowl, and I'm just like, I will be so fired up, you know, tomorrow for the Super Bowl, and we'll get totally into it, and you know, we'll enjoy it and be able to sort of put, you know, the other things aside for at least, you know, 3 or 3.5 hours of the game. And the family certainly looking forward to the big J-Lo Shakira halftime show. So we've talked a lot on the Ramble over the last year about the Kansas City Chiefs. We've certainly talked a lot in the last 6 months about this version of the San Francisco 49ers. I think we've done a pretty good job detailing the strengths of both of those teams. I don't think the strengths and the weaknesses of both of those teams have changed much in the last 2 weeks. I really don't. You know, the quick recap on this is that the San Francisco 49ers in the past have been able to get away with just rushing four defensive linemen. And when you do that, you're able to drop significantly more people back into coverage, which means you're able to apply pressure with just four people, and you're able to cover the wide receivers and running backs out of the backfield with more people. Hence, you're able to slow an offensive down because of the ability to have such a strong defensive line. That has been the core to why the San Francisco 49ers have been so successful. I don't care what you say about how well they've done on offense with the offensive line and the running game, which has been fantastic. But this team is not here today if the defense and Robert Saleh had not devised a way to handle other offenses the way they have with those four first round draft picks on that defensive line. Congrats to John Lynch and the rest of the 49ers organization, because I've got to tell you, defenses 90% of the time win Super Bowls. And that's what makes this Super Bowl so interesting, because there sometimes is these offenses that just can't be stopped. I don't care how great your defensive line is. I don't care if all 11 players on your defense are going to the Hall of Fame. It sometimes just doesn't matter when you're facing an offensive juggernaut. And I go back to the Rams, and I think of Kurt Warner, and I always look back at I remember seeing the Kurt Warner stories about how he was like boxing groceries at a grocery store and then playing in the Arena Football League before he actually had a chance to take over the Rams and take them all the way to the Super Bowl with that high-powered offense and ultimately win it. This offense that Kansas City has put together, the way that this team plays has me thinking that they are as good as that Rams offense was. You know, the fastest offense on turf, the greatest offense on turf. Patrick Mahomes, without getting into a love fest around Patrick Mahomes, if Patrick Mahomes plays at 90% of his capability in the Super Bowl tomorrow, the Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl in a way that will shock you, in a way that will dismiss how strong that defense is by the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, literally 14 to 21 points will be the margin of victory for the Kansas City Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes plays at the level that he's, or near the level that he's capable of playing. So when I sat back and I had to make a Super Bowl prediction, there's two things I have to do. One, I've got to take into effect the family factor. And the family factor is that the entire family is rooting for the San Francisco 49ers. So as a big Minnesota Viking fan, I have to do the right thing for my family. As much as this pains me, I have to actually tomorrow during the Super Bowl root for the 49ers to win. That doesn't mean I have to predict they're going to win the Super Bowl. That just means that when we're eating those Buffalo Wild Wings and the crazy hot sauce that it comes with, and dipping the celery into the blue cheese dressing, I have to sit there and root for the 49ers. That's just how it is. But I don't necessarily have to predict that they're going to win the whole thing. And this has been a very difficult prediction for me to make. But as I laid it out earlier, I think this is the time where a offense is going to trump the defense. And that is why I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not only picking them to win the Super Bowl, I'm picking them to actually win the Super Bowl by a significant amount of points. That is different than anybody else is actually predicting. I have yet to hear anybody say 21 points or 14 to 21 points is going to be the margin of victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just think this offense is that potent that they are going to win the Super Bowl by somewhere between 14 and 21 points, North America. Okay. All right. So that is the big Super Bowl prediction for you all, North America. I will say this, you know, like there's all this stuff that that you see on all these other shows where they're, you know, trying to say, you know, who needs it more? Who needs to win the Super Bowl more? Do the Chiefs need to win it more, or do the 49ers need to win it more? does Andy Reid really need to win the Super Bowl more than Kyle Shanahan? And I just want to say this, what a load of crap all of that is. Look, I know all of these TV shows are just trying to get ratings. I know all these podcasts out there are just trying to get listeners. I get it, but it's ridiculous. Like, of course they both need to win it. Nobody needs to win it more than the other person does. Like, everybody on both teams needs to win the Super Bowl. There is not one person that needs to win it more than the other. Now, look, I understand that some people are saying, well, you know, Andy Reid needs to win it now because if he doesn't win it now, he's never going to have another chance again because he's like 63 years old. Oh my gosh. What will Andy Reid do if he doesn't win the Super Bowl? Will he just retire and go to a farm someplace, do some ice fishing in the winter and hunting during the summer? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, what happens if Kyle Shanahan doesn't win the Super Bowl? Is Kyle Shanahan suddenly just going to quit? Is John Lynch going to quit? Are they going to stop trying? It's ridiculous. This who needs to win the Super Bowl more? Does Patrick Mahomes need to win the Super Bowl more than Jimmy G? I mean, it's absolutely two young quarterbacks with their whole careers in front of them. They're both sitting there thinking they just want to win the Super Bowl, but nobody gets to win the Super Bowl or needs to win the Super Bowl more than the other person. It's one of the most ridiculous arguments that I've seen being made in all of sports over the last couple weeks. All right. Hey, listen, I know a little somber on the ramble today, but for good reason. That being said, thanks so much for all of your support of The Big Ramble. For The Ramble, I am Dave DeBaugh, reminding you that you can't win a championship if you play for the Carolina Panthers. And good luck, North America, because in this era of Donald Trump being your president, trust me, you're going to need all the help that you can get.